The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
CNN is going to have a debate on healthcare. Why are we having a debate on the degrees of crappiness? Oh, one's a little less crappy. One is a little less government-run than the other. The premise from the get-go is garbage. It should be. This is how I would have this debate. CNN would come on. They'd say, please welcome Adrian Slade. And then I would step up to the microphone and say, get the government out of it. Thank you. Good night. Like I said, the entire premise for this debate is wrong. The government should not be involved at any level with healthcare. Sorry. I know that doesn't sit well with you, but when we're sitting there going, well, we like just a different kind of government-run healthcare. In fact, let's call it federalism, and we'll say, oh, you know, we'll let the states handle it. You know what? I don't want anyone handling it, okay? It's not federalism to make the state government turn around and demand that you buy a product. I mean, I'm all for federalism. I want the states to be in charge of their own destinies. I want the citizens to be able to live in a state and demand the things that they want. But it's not even a state versus federal issue. It is the government of any type, municipality, federal government, state, should not be demanding you to buy a product. They should not be offering a product. They should not be controlling how resources are handled. I mean, the whole premise is complete garbage. And CNN is going to waste all of your time by making you sit through this stupid debate that shouldn't even be held. But they're going to do it anyways because they're going to try to rook the individual, the non-focused person who has no idea what's going on in the world around them that may tune into CNN because they think that that is news. They're going to try to dupe them into thinking what is happening here is, you know, a real debate. And it's obviously not. And one of the things we have to realize is it isn't even about healthcare. This isn't about healthcare. This is about control. I mean, I've heard the discussion of, well, you know, maybe if you decide you're going to live healthy, well, then you should pay less. Yeah, that's great. But who's going to draw up them guidelines? The government? Who is going to make sure that you are living those guidelines? If it's just between you and an entity that is going to provide this product, well, they're going to judge it based on how you use it. They're going to judge it based on their qualifications. But eventually somebody's going to say, well, this company's qualifications aren't as good as this one. And then it's going to come down, well, the government should fix it. It's always the government should fix it. But see, that's the thing. They have been pushing this issue just as hard as they push climate change, just as hard as they push anything that they can use to control the individual. I mean, think about it. Healthcare. You're gonna need some sort of health insurance, you know, unless we get it down to the essence of what a real consumer to product relationship should be, because economies of scale kick in at that point. You know, that's the thing is when you have a system that is basically, okay, well, the employer is going to provide you health insurance is going to become this thing that can pay in between you and the service you require, well, then suddenly there's all of this, you know, inflating of money and inflating of cost. You know, suddenly the medications are going to go skyrocketing through the roof because who's going to pay for it? Well, health insurance is going to pay for it. You have paid for your health insurance. You're not paying for the product directly. So, you know, it's going to be out of balance. You know, that's the way economics works. You can't just sit there and go, okay, well, now the hospital room is going to cost a crap ton of money where it would probably be almost like a hotel facility. You know, we'd pay $89 to stay a night instead of $1,000 because who's getting paid? Well, the insurance company is paying for it. They're footing the bill. And, you know, the doctor's going to decide, well, I'm going to go ahead and schedule this hospital room for you to come in and have this surgery. Oh, you don't need this surgery? Well, we're just going to leave that bill out there and let the insurance company cover it. You know, that's what's wrong, is all of the in-between that goes on between you as a customer and them as a product, a service. The problem is all of the crap in between muddies up the waters. And so, like climate change, like health insurance, anything that the government can do to step in and capitalize on what they consider to be a crisis that will allow them to have more control, they're going to step in and do it. That's the way it always works. I mean, if they can control, and the reason why I bring climate change into this debate is because if they can control the narrative on climate change, make everybody in the country believe that this is a big issue, well, then they can control energy. And what are one of the biggest things in a democracy or a representative republic, as the American political makeup is, what is one of the things that is a power to having your own independence? It's energy. What is the thing that's going to be something that will be a thumb that they can keep on top of you? Your health. Suddenly, if they're running the healthcare show, well, then what you eat is going to be scrutinized. What you consume is going to be scrutinized. How you live is going to be scrutinized. And then it's going to be looked at, well, you're doing this, that, and this, and that's causing a burden to the system, so we're going to have you stop that. Oh, you're not going to stop that? Well, we're just going to penalize you economically. And so that is why you don't want the government running it, because you don't want to cede that much power and give them that much control. But now they're going to say, hey, you have to buy insurance. In fact, you're going to end up paying the same amount as somebody who's got a pre-existing condition who needs to go to the doctor all the time. And you're also going to pay for services like, birth control. And you're a guy. You're going to pay for birth control pills. You're also going to pay for Johnny's chronic Crohn's disease medication. You're going to pay for all of that. And if you don't, well, then we're going to fine you, because this is a tax, not a tax. The IRS is going to levy a fine on something it shouldn't even collect, because the IRS doesn't have that power, but we're just going to magically make them have that power. You know, and then the argument's going to be, well, we don't want to remove government from that because so many people will lose their health insurance. I did the show about a year ago that covered why you lost your plan in the first place. A lot of people don't talk about that. But the problem is, in my field where taxation is concerned, we had to study the makeup of Obamacare. And what we learned was the definition of a qualified plan. Do you know what the definition of a qualified plan is? Your plan, before anything changes, was grandfathered in. Well, if you wanted your plan, you could keep your plan. They were exactly right. The problem is the plans had to adjust economically, or they wouldn't even be a viable option for the insurance company. So even the slightest tweak changed your plan from being a qualified plan to being discontinued. How about all those people that lost their health insurance at the beginning? You know, we're going to sit there and cry about, oh, you're going to take health insurance away from people. Well, that happened in the very beginning. People were losing insurance left and right. Some of them were in the middle of what are now pre-existing conditions. They were finding out they were having conditions, and they lost their health care at the same time. And then on top of that, everybody's deductibles went up. And on top of that, it was everybody's cost went up, and deductibles skyrocketed so high that you're paying for your medical coverage, and you're never meeting your deductible. How silly is that? What's the point in even having the insurance? But the government is now running 1/6 of the economy, and they're utilizing it for whatever they want to do, because it's going to go into the general fund pool, and they're just going to just blow that money on mountain lions, you know, on treadmills, and you know, kicking back all their buddies on K Street and what have you. And on top of that, the insurance companies have been forced a clientele. I mean, they've got to love that. Until it crashes down, they become single payer. Hopefully they've made giant golden parachutes that they can hoard that money, because when it comes crashing down, those insurance companies are going to be kaput. They're not even going to be in business anymore, so they better rake up the money now and invest it and get it ready for some other venture, because the government's going to eventually take this thing over. And if we would just get the government out of the way, you would be surprised at the flood of innovation, the flood of entrepreneurs that are going to come rushing in to fill the void. You know, the joke was always, well, if we legalize marijuana, Marlboro's already got a product sitting on the shelf waiting for it. Well, the same thing is going to happen here. As soon as the government gets the heck out of the way, it's going to be lightning quick with people coming in going, oh, I can now make money off of providing something. So it's not as though people are going to suddenly be out in purgatory without health insurance if the government stepped out of the way. It would happen fairly fast, because that's the way enterprise works. That's market share. If you want the market share, you get in there first and you deliver the best product. And then competition builds in fighting for that market share. But if the government gets out of the way and opens the door to the market share, it's going to flood in. So don't get your panties in a bunch if we want to really repeal Obamacare. The problem is the government has the control of 1/6 of the economy, and they're not going to let that go anytime soon. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Sunday afternoon, a deadly event took place in a Tennessee church. A Sudanese immigrant came in and opened fire. One woman was killed, 7 other people hurt. 25-year-old Emmanuel Kadega Sampson immigrated from the Sudan about 20 years ago. He's suspected of bringing 2 pistols and a mask into the predominantly white Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, southeast of Nashville. This is from Fox News. Basically, he had attended this church ages ago. Luckily, an usher identified as Robert Engel, 22, confronted the gunman at one point and was pistol whipped, causing significant injury around his head, from what the police said. They say Engel went back to his own car, grabbed a pistol, and headed back into the church to subdue Mr. Sampson. And Sampson had been to that church ages ago. Not sure why he showed up randomly out of the blue and took him out. I mean, what about he's from the Sudan? I don't want to jump to conclusions because we don't know the details, but if I had a hunch, the predominant Muslim affiliation of the Sudan, you know, I mean, I would have to go there. But then that would be looked at as Islamophobia. And we can rule that out, I guess. So now we just have to automatically go, well, maybe he's just crazy. Because crazy is more rational than somebody whose religion demands them to attack would cause him to attack. So we want to pray for the families affected by this shooting in Tennessee that you would have heard, but you didn't hear of it from all of the kneeling. That's right. The NFL melted down over a Trump rally. You know, the NFL has been going progressive for so long. I mean, this happened. Colin Kaepernick has been taking the knee out on the field during the anthem back when Obama was in office. So this isn't a Trump thing. When they decided to, you know, give a limelight and a microphone and a platform to lukewarm, milquetoast, half-talented players just because of their sexual preferences, you know, like Michael Sands, when they have him up there demanding he be drafted by a team when he's a subpar player at best just because he likes to kiss other men, all of a sudden, the NFL became a platform for progressive ideas. You know, you got to watch the pink socks in October and the pink towels. Not to say that that's progressive, but it's become this thing where it's like, I just want to watch the game. I don't need, who's unaware of breast cancer? Seriously, you've done your job. Good for you. Move on to something else. Everyone's aware of breast cancer. You don't see prostate cancer ribbons. You don't see the month of November dedicated to prostate cancer. So now we have to deal with the fact that all these teams are kneeling because Donald Trump decided to throw chum to his rabid fan base. And this isn't me knocking Trump, but he seems to tend to take a sort of a pattern for when things aren't going his way. He just holds a rally and just says a lot of stuff off the cuff. You're the president now. And getting up there and saying, oh, that SOB should be thrown out, you know, and the crowd goes wild. Woo-hoo! You know, while we're not getting tax reform done, while we're not getting Obamacare repealed, we're getting these lukewarm measures like, you know, Cassidy Graham pretending to be federalist. You know, oh, it's federalism like we talked about in the first segment. No, we're getting this cloud of distraction by a Trump rally. And he, you know, he can do that all day. But he did that the last time things were on the table and his approval rates weren't all that great with his base. Because he was doing things against him. He just throws a rally and says, we're going to get everybody. You're going to say Merry Christmas on Christmas time. We're going to throw people out of the NFL that want to kneel before the flag. And then the crowd goes wild. I mean, listen to what caused this entire mess.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
So Donald Trump throws that rally. And then, of course, the Black Lives Matter protest of Colin Kaepernick becomes a protest to Donald Trump and causes everyone to freaking kneel. Now, I'm not against free, peaceful protest. So don't get me wrong on that. But it's not as cut and dry as you think it is. Because in this situation, you're wearing the uniform of your employer in public, on television. You now represent the values and principles of your employer, whatever team that may be. And the NFL, as an organization, is allowing these groups of businesses, these teams, to do whatever it wants to under its logo. So this isn't about protests. You know, these guys, they can go out and kneel at the anthem if they're watching a baseball game and they're off the clock, not wearing any uniform. You know, they can go out in their front yard and start spouting off anti-American ideas. Go right ahead. But when you do it right there in the public forum representing your team, you've actually now adopted the culture, the company culture of the organization that is employing you. I can't go to work and just start spouting off all these, you know, Nazi statements and wearing a swastika, I'd be fired. Tell you that, I'd be canned in a heartbeat. And you know you would too. So when you're on the clock, you now represent the company. And that's where the issue is, because now it looks as though the company is anti-American. Not only that, it's the fact that you follow us with your progressive BS everywhere you go. I mean, you're like, it's almost like when you go to the mall and you've got that annoying kiosk guy that comes running around, hey, 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 tapping you on the shoulder. You know, that's what we get with progressivism. It follows you into, you know, it tries to show up at NASCAR. It tries to show up at MLB. It shows up at NFL. It shows up everywhere. Shows up at award shows. And it's gotten to the point where you just can't take it anymore. And that's the real issue at hand. That's what really has people on edge, is the fact that they don't want politics in their escapism. But progressivism has to be fascistic and chase everyone around, as it always does. And so, Saturday, I've basically kind of written football off. You know, I'll watch college football. I mean, heck, and if college football becomes crazy, I will show up as the creepy guy at the Little League game. All right, with no kid in the game. They're like, oh, why are you here, creepy guy, with no kid on the team? Oh, because I just want to watch some football where they're not kneeling. But now they're doing that in high school. Now they're doing that in Little League. Six-year-olds kneeling. You've got nowhere to go if you're a fan of sports and politics. So then all of a sudden we get this stupid hashtag, take the knee, on social media. To the point where I was sitting at the beach. I was relaxing in September. Because I live about 12 minutes from it. It's kind of nice. So I was hanging out at the beach and, you know, I'm sitting there. My kids are playing in the sand and my wife is playing with them. And I happen to pop open Twitter and that's when I see this mess. And basically, I've gotten to the point where I'm done with the NFL anyways. But that's when I basically said, we don't have to watch your football game. We don't have to sit through your painful award shows. I can take the knee towards your BS. I can take the knee to your movies that are filled with propaganda. I can take the knee to your silly network sitcoms that pound me with your liberalism. I can take the knee to your horrible pop music filled with drivel and mindless garbage, which you use to as a platform to spew progressivism, such as Black Panther anti-American halftime shows by Beyonce. Yeah, I can take a knee to that crap. I take a knee to taking my son to see a movie about a freaking monster truck, only to find out as we're watching the movie, it's actually about global warming, climate change, and evil oil companies. I take a knee to your TV shows that have to have that homosexual, the token homosexual, littered with crap thrown in front of my kids' faces at 8 p.m. as soon as Jeopardy wraps up. You know, you got to see two women making out right at 8:01, and then I have to go, son, let me tell you about that. Thanks for making me have that conversation. I take a knee to your universities of indoctrination where butthurt kids can't accept opposing viewpoints. I take a knee to all that crap. I take a knee to your corporate philanthropy. Of all these regular businesses that we use day to day that we come to find out are supporting progressive causes and agendas, I take a knee to your overregulation and your overtaxation. I take a knee to you taxing freaking soft drinks, but subsidizing slothfulness, allowing people to just be in a soft depression, unemployed, but comfortably living. I take a knee to the elected morons that the liberals laud and praise. They're praised after allowing ambassadors and military vets to die in Benghazi by terrorists. I take a knee to the same politicians weaponizing their power to destroy opposing views, like Obama weaponizing his executive offices, using the EPA to silence Gibson guitars just because they have a different view of government's role. I take a knee to that. I take a knee to making all the Tea Party organizations that wanted to be politically active were basically held in purgatory because their tax exemption status was shelved by the IRS at Obama's command. See, you got to realize something here. Yeah, Trump, you saying Trump is a white supremacist, this whole white supremacy meme would have been applied to a President Ted Cruz or President John Kasich. That type of media vilification, I take a knee to that. I take a knee to how the media attacked Ronald Reagan, called him stupid, attacked George H. Bush, swooned over Bill Clinton, attacked George W. Bush on a daily basis, swooned over Obama, and are now attacking Trump with just unimaginably ridiculous premises. Notice a pattern with that, by the way? I take a knee that the media is so one-sided to the point of sabotaging the Vietnam and Iraq wars simply for their political game. I take a knee to the fact that the progressive presidents gave North Korea and Iran nuclear capabilities, and when the GOP presidents stand their ground, they're blasted for it. I take a knee to the realization that I walk in with dinner to my wife watching an episode of Undercover Boss, and it starts to roll out into a gay couple's business with trannies that they hired. You know, I don't care who you sleep with. I'm not offended by that. Who you're attracted to, if you want to switch genders, go right ahead. I take a knee to the normalization by the media, though. The exploitation by the media, I take a knee to that. I've worked with plenty of gay people, had some as bosses, and some of them are still good friends of mine. I take a knee to the exploitation of them by the left. I take a knee that a Supreme Court decision could even define something that isn't even covered in it. Marriage was not in the Constitution. I take a knee to the ridiculous stupidity of Antifa and how they justify vigilante violence as some sort of public service. Excuse me, Antifa, but screw you. Okay? I take a knee to all that. I take a knee to your soy latte. I take a knee to your free-range chicken, which isn't free-range, as Whole Foods just found out, which is great. I take a knee to your 37 trash receptacles, the one for composting, the one for recycling. I take a knee to all that crap, your organic veggie burgers that aren't even organic. I take a knee to it. I take a knee over progressive liberalism that advocates government control in every aspect of your life when I just want to chart my own destiny. And like I said, I was sitting at the beach thinking of all this. I take a knee to you, winter, because you're coming and I don't want you to bring on the climate change. But when NASCAR decides to start taking a knee, because MLB did it. That's when I'm just going to tap out of culture altogether. I mean, do you want to see capitalism at work? You want to see the free market forces work in real time? Keep on taking the knee and push your audience away. I mean, companies have a culture, and that is what is representing of that company. And if its corporate culture is to support anti-American FUs, like take the knee, I'll watch Little League. Like I said, I'll be one shows up at Little League, the creepy guy watching someone else's kid. I mean, Tim Tebow, he thanks the Lord for his successes and takes a knee whenever he, you know, feels he wants to show praise. NFL tells him to stop. Now they support taking the knee. So I say take a knee to them. I mean, they could protest. Maybe they could put a protest on their helmet. Oh, no, they can't. The NFL wouldn't allow the Cowboys to, you know, praise the veterans by doing that. Maybe they can wear it on their jersey. Oh, no, the NFL won't allow them to do that. But they will allow this, and then they'll say they don't have the power to stop it. And as a friend of mine said, Hazel, give a shout out to her at Pavlov's Cat, singer Megan Lindsay to team up with Dixie Chicks to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Ooh, say take the knee, to which I agree. And I responded with, I'll take a knee against any Dixie Chicks performance anywhere. I'll easily take a knee if it shows up in the halftime show. I'll go get a beer and some wings instead. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
I wanted to read something from a friend of mine on Twitter. He goes by Cincy Browncoat. You can follow him. He's a great guy. But this was actually something he wrote back when everybody was talking about Jemele Hill. You know, she was the host for ESPN, who basically tweeted about how Donald Trump is some white supremacist. And I think it's more pertinent now that we're seeing what's happening with the NFL and the expansion of this cancerous kneeling epidemic. But this is what he wrote. The latest sports and politics mess revolves around the tweets of Jemele Hill. Now, I am not here to say whether or not her opinion was right or wrong. It's her opinion, and she has the right to express her opinion on any topic. However, she should be aware that there are going to be consequences for her actions. I mean, anytime people melt politics with sports, it always ends up bad for the people. 99.9% of Americans who watch sports regularly use sports for an escape from their life. And honestly, they don't care about the X, Y's, and Z's of politics and political opinions. However, it does get easy ratings. Sports media, especially ESPN, thrives on stories of controversy. They knew years ago that when they hired Rush Limbaugh, that something would be said and controversy would occur. It is the nature of ESPN and in many sports media to create controversies to fill the gaps during programming. Creating controversies is easy. And that's because getting a lot of people to argue on contradicting sides is easy ratings. It's like political media, putting people in camps and never really discussing the real root issues. Look at shows like First Take. All it is a yell fest and people eat it up. I also cannot blame the media for asking questions about these political topics. Sooner or later, they will get a story they can use from some young kid who is not politically aware of what the consequences of their actions will be. I mean, whether or not you like what Colin Kaepernick did with kneeling for the national anthem, he did have a right to do it. His doing so also gave people the right to look at him and ask, do I want someone like him on my team because of the media firestorm it will create? Now, on a side note, I kind of feel like when you're representing the team on game day and you're in full uniform and you're technically on the clock, you're no different than the Google guy who got canned over his memo being critical and protesting the culture of Google, who was then fired. So if you're protesting on their dime, in their venues, wearing their uniforms, representing their culture, be prepared for some sort of administrative consequences by those who run the organization, because you represent the organization. If not, the representation of the organization shows that the organization endorses it, in my opinion. But anyways, back to what Cincy was saying. If ESPN were honest, the reason Colin doesn't have a job can be tracked back to them and sports media in general. I mean, places like ESPN thrive on the quote-unquote controversial stories. Then they get to examine them 6 ways to Sunday and continue to discuss them in the offseason. Yeah, they do need something to talk about in the time that there is no football, in the time that they haven't stretched out the draft and tried to milk that for all it's worth. But anyways, to most general managers, Colin Kaepernick kneeling is no different than Tim Tebow's outspoken Christianity and Johnny Manziel's drunk antics. The reason for this is they all know the continuous media coverage that will occur. So the question becomes, how do we stop this crap? Honestly, we have to tune out these type of shows. However, human nature will not permit us to do that. So I will say, Jemele Hill is not the first sports media reporter to interject politics into sports and will be far from the last. As long as there is ranting bonanzas that occurs for these companies and people to talk about it in the sports media, they win. I mean, Bob Costas did much of the same with Sunday Night Football, touting gun control. Keith Olbermann made an entire career about melding sports and politics. This is not a problem that will go away anytime soon, in my opinion, unless people change their hearts. So who really won or lost the Jemele Hill tweet storm? Regardless of how you feel about the tweet, one must admit Jemele Hill won the Twitter that week. Now, for the long term, however, it remains to be seen. She raised her profile a ton in terms of the average person knowing who she even is. I can almost bet that she had a dramatic increase in her social media followers as well. However, one question remains: at what cost will she pay for her new fame? Reading people's social media responses to her tweet, the perception of how people view her is divisive and diverse, to say the least. Yes, there were people cheering her on for what she said. There were also those on the far alt-right saying that the things that were said to her were too vile to ever repeat, including death threats by the alt-right. I will defend Jemele's right to say what she said because I'm a free speech absolutist. I also defend a company's right to do what it views are the best long-term interest of their organization. I mean, Google had the right to fire its engineer when the letter became public. However, it is possible Google may take a long-term hit for doing this, and the same situation applies to ESPN with Jemele Hill in reverse. Will this 15 minutes of absolute fame raise her profile? Long-term, maybe? Will it be just a bleep in the ratings on the ratings radar? Will ESPN have more people tuning in to hear her next controversial statement? Time will tell, because there's a large market for shock jocks out there. However, at the same time, it is just as likely SportsCenter's ratings with her will tank. ESPN, like every other broadcast business on the planet, makes programming changes when ratings fall through the floor. One of the most common things involves talent replacement. The reason for this is ESPN and broadcast networks are a medium to sell ad space and nothing more. The more viewers they have, the more they can charge for ad space and revenue, and they can garner shareholders. This is why ESPN is willing to pay $470 million per year for 12 years for the college football player playoff rights. And since he's completely correct there, there's always somebody in line that's going to be able to take your place. You know, they're going to step up and say, oh, you want to strike? You want to protest? You want to put up controversial statements that don't fall in line with what we believe on our dime, that are, you know, inflammatory? Well, you know, we can fire you and get somebody in your place. I mean, that is the biggest part of the argument that no one's talking about. On game day, you're in uniform representing the organization's culture. And if the organization's culture is to allow people to disrespect American traditions, then they de facto endorse it. And if the organization endorses it and encourages it, they deserve to have the free market determine if it was the right choice. And if the free market determines the ratings to slide, sales to drop, and other sports franchises and sports outlets to reap the rewards of a relinquished market share by the organization, then they've made their bed and they can lie in it. I mean, if you logged onto your employer's social media and started posting insulting things that the customer base takes offense to, you'll be fired. Either that or they'll agree with it and the revenue will decline. If you tell customers to go screw themselves while on the clock in the employer's venues wearing their uniforms, you will get your walking papers. Keep in mind, this oppressive country that allowed the opportunity for many minorities to come from utter poverty to becoming millionaires simply for being good at playing a game where you can run fast and throw a ball around, that should be lauded. And you can only do that in a land of opportunities such as America. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back. See, there's a reason why the NFL is kneeling. There's a reason why Jemele Hill is throwing continual polarizing racial slams on her Twitter account. There's also a reason why Jorge Ramos, a big political activist on Fusion Television, which is a Hispanic network, also is a sports commentator with ESPN Deportes, also was involved in the campaign process with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Because football is a battlefield. And not just the football field. Football is a battlefield. Entertainment is a battlefield. Culture is a battlefield. The college campuses are the training grounds. And the media is the brainwashing mechanism. And there's a reason why all of these different areas are coexisting with each other. I mean, think about Colin Kaepernick. There's a conflicting report out there saying that he converted to Islam. Now, I looked it up and it's somewhat vague, and whether or not he actually converted is in question. Although, oddly enough, anytime there's something that the left wants to hide, they try to debunk it, putting a stupid Snopes article out there, which Snopes on its own has been delegitimized and shown for their bias and their progressive nature of the founders of that website. But he says, well, if I did, it really wouldn't matter. Well, many people have come to the conclusion that he simply wasn't drafted because of his kneeling and because of these kind of things. But outside of his marginal talent on the field, the fact that he can be predicted by other teams in his performance and he's not able to adapt, that's actually what got him, you know, canned on top of that. But remember, there was a push to get him back on the Ravens. I mean, Ray Lewis was talking about it. He said, we're talking about giving this kid an opportunity to get back in the National Football League. And all of a sudden, his girlfriend puts out this racist gesture and doesn't know we're in the back office trying to get this guy signed. So, I mean, obviously, her influence in this situation is pretty big. I mean, this Colin Kaepernick, the same guy who praised Fidel Castro for his commitment to education and criminal justice reform, which Jemele Hill actually has a tweet talking about that's the crux of her argument, is criminal justice reform. But this guy had Linda Sarsour, the Islamic activist who was responsible for the Women's March and Free Palestine Parade that I like to refer to as the Arab Snatch, Muslim Brotherhood member, was stumping on his behalf. If you remember, and I have this up at conservativelibrary.com, after giving a shout out to Sirha Waha, who was one of those appeared on the list of unindicted co-conspirators in the trial of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and calling for jihad against the White House back in July, she spoke at a rally for Colin Kaepernick. I mean, so there's pictures of her hanging with Colin Kaepernick. So there's obviously a push, a designated push. Not only that, you know, she basically said she's not going to be silenced by Blue Lives Matter, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and right-wing Zionists. You know, she touted Malcolm X. Then there was also the fact that there is this Democracy Alliance. You remember we talked about Democracy Alliance? The big, shadowy, leftist organization that is funded by the Tides Foundation, funded by George Soros and Open Society, funded by the Ford Organization, the New World Organization, all of these different organizations, and they're the umbrella group to PICO, which is another organization that is referenced in an article on, you know, race relations, on the attack on race relations and stirring that mess up. They are also the umbrella group that oversees Media Matters and also Color for Change, the ones who ousted Bill O'Reilly. Go back and listen to my show on that. But she was actually invited to speak at one of their gatherings, Linda Sarsour. I mean, if anyone has not realized that everything goes back to Obama, everything goes back to Democracy Alliance and this collection of millionaire progressives that are trying to reshape America, NFL kneeling isn't simply a protest to Donald Trump. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. You can donate to my Patron account, patron.com/Adrian Slade Show. You can listen on Talk America Radio every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The replay on the Liberty Channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you don't catch it on the Liberty Channel on either one of those times, check it out Saturday afternoon on the Justice Channel on Talk America Radio at 7 p.m. Also, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on the Justice Channel. You can also check out the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in the streaming store. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Keep your head up. God bless. He's got your back.